This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyihi al-Kareem. Alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu taslim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think I heard two people, subhanAllah. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So the right of a Muslim upon another Muslim. Either you don't consider me to be a Muslim, which I hope not, subhanAllah, or we're just really tired because the sun goes to sleep really early these days. Okay, so for the sisters again, the partition is up there, so if you want, you can come out, inshaAllah ta'ala. We are going to go through the last topic, inshaAllah, for this month with regards to... Is it me or do I keep seeing something flash on me? Someone shining something on me? No? Maybe it's just a reflection of something. So we're going to go through the last Friday, inshaAllah ta'ala, with regards to tazkiyatun nafs, purification of the soul. And we started talking about tazkiyah, we went on to discuss a few other topics which I want you to remind me of, because I know what we discussed. I was the one who taught it, but I want to know what you remember from it, inshaAllah, before we move on. Very quickly, in 2 or 3 minutes. So what do you remember? Which topics did we cover? Yes. Envy. Very good. Tell me about envy. What is envy? Because some people never heard that word before. After I finished teaching, some of the brothers came to me and said, what was this word you were talking about? I said, envy. So we never heard this before. So what is envy? What's another word in English for envy? Very good. Like a form of jealousy. And what do you know about it? Sorry? It's from shaitan. Very good. Alhamdulillah. What else? What other topics did we cover? I see half of our children missing today and the other half are out there kicking a ball around. For all you troublemakers kicking the ball around, you can come inside. And they're too busy kicking the ball. What else? What did we cover? We couldn't only cover one topic in the past month. Hey, yeah. No one remembers. So the class is pointless. No one's implementing anything in their life. For me, when I see students are not implementing, I lose it. As in, I don't want to teach anymore. I'll go teach a group of students that want to implement what we're learning. So what did we learn? Good. We covered Halloween. Very good. What did you learn about it? Right. We learned about scaring other people, teasing other people, pranking other people, and how we should not do that. And the Prophet ﷺ told us not to scare other people. Very good. MashaAllah. Hayya, what else? Sisters, what did you learn? We spent a month on tazkiyatun nafs. What have you learned? How many of you attended one of the past 4 Fridays? Okay. How many of you attended one of the past 4 Fridays? Good. What can you remember? Good, alhamdulillah. Jealousy, don't feel jealous that someone else has something that you don't have. If you see someone who has something that you wish to have, make dua for that person, right? Don't only have that feeling inside of you that I need this, I want it for myself. No, I need to also want it for other people. Love for your brother or your sister, what we love for ourselves. That's the motto or we could say key aspects of our deen, of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we're going to touch upon two completely different aspects of a spectrum. We're going to look at the love of this dunya, things that we enjoy and love and want and constantly want more and more and more. And today's a prime day for it. What day is it today? No, it's Friday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Black Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? No, but we know it is Black Friday. Very good, mashallah. We know today to be so-called Black Friday, which is something that really didn't exist for many years in Canada, and all of a sudden it just happened, right? And it's a time, or in fact we should say Friday itself, this Friday, the so-called Black Friday, falls on the Friday that is known as another holiday in the U.S., Thanksgiving, right? It's Thanksgiving weekend. And we see that all the store owners today, they're saying, thank you for giving me more money. Thank you for giving me more money. Yesterday I went to Canadian Tire, subhanAllah, just to buy windshield washer fluid. And I walked in and I looked around and I walked out. And I thought to myself, there's no way I'm going to wait 45 minutes in line to pay for windshield washer fluid. It was packed. It was like a jungle. People going crazy because Black Friday sales started on Wednesday for some reason, subhanAllah. Someone better tell those kids to watch the door. Hey, it's a glass door. And so we see, subhanAllah, that today is a day when a lot of people spend money. They spend a lot of money. And then we have Monday, which is known as Cyber Monday, where people buy more things online. So the whole weekend, and you'll see Black Friday sales started on Wednesday and end on Monday. So it's not a Black Friday, it's a Black Week, subhanAllah. A week where we go into the black. Where, in fact, we go into the red. We lose so much money, we spend so much money, we don't have any more left. And what can we learn from this, inshaAllah ta'ala, is what we're going to cover. We're also going to look at the other end of the spectrum. So in our deen, we don't spend everything that we have, but we also don't hold on to everything. So we're going to look at bukhul. What is bukhul? It's another disease of the heart, right? What is it? Miserliness, being stingy. You tell your brother, you know what, share with your sister. No, I don't want to. Why? I just don't want to. We don't want to. We don't want to share. Because we don't feel like giving and sharing things and helping others. We always want things for ourselves. And sometimes our children pick it up because they see us that way. We have something, we tell our child, no, don't touch my phone, don't touch my computer, don't touch my iPad, don't touch the TV, don't touch this, don't touch that, don't touch this, you know, beautiful thing we have on the wall or inside some cabinet in our house. We tell them not to touch so many things, so the things that they have, they don't want other people to touch as well. And so we see that this becomes a problem. It's a disease of the heart. It's something that, subhanAllah, we hold on to, things of value. And we don't want to let go of them. And for many of us, that's our own money. The money that we get in our pockets and in our bank accounts. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, in verse number 28 of Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses spending. And He says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Verse number 28 of Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grabs our attention. اعلموا, know, understand. أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. Now that's really interesting because Allah says your wealth, whether it's money or your property or your car or even the clothing that we have, is a fitna. And our children, أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ fitna. How are our children a fitna? How can our children be a fitna when they're a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Beautiful thing happened to me today after Salatul Jum'ah. This brother comes to me and he came to me over a year ago. Right, in Milton. He comes to me after I did a Jummah khutbah on, remember those verses in Surah Nuh, when we highlighted the five things that you get if you do istighfar. Do you remember that? We studied that during Ramadan, for those that were with us. We focused on how Nuh alayhi salam, Prophet Nuh, he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what he invited people towards. He says, فَقُلْتُ استغفروا ربكم, right? فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا. He says, I told the people to do istighfar a lot because Allah is forgiving. يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا. You remember that? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send to the people who do istighfar regularly, He'll send beneficial rain. Crops, produce, vegetables, whatever types of fruits and vegetables and food that we love, we get. Even if it's Hero Burger or Popeyes, right? You need the rain for it, alhamdulillah. And then Nuh alayhi salam, he says, يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you wealth and children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And He will give you gardens and He will give you rivers. And so I mentioned this in my khutbah last year, about a year and a half ago. And this brother comes to me today after Salatul Jum'ah, And pay attention, this is really important, especially if you know people who don't have children. He says, I came to you and I asked you, will Allah really grant us children, right? If we do istighfar, because that's what I mentioned in the khutbah. He said, of course, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Nuh alayhi salam made that very clear to us. And this brother, subhanAllah, he says, I don't know if you remember, but I asked you a year and a half ago about adopting a child because I was married for 16 years with my wife. We tried to have children, we couldn't have children. And he says, I learned from the khutbah that I need to do more istighfar. And I left that Friday, and he went home and he told his wife, and they started, they went through many attempts to have children. And they also, subhanAllah, started the application process to adopt a child. And then Allah granted them a child. Not through adoption, the wife became pregnant. And he started to tear up. You can see tears in his eyes. And he was standing next to his father, who was really elderly, subhanAllah. He had to repeat things in his ear to tell him what I was saying. And subhanAllah, after 16 or 17 years of marriage and trying to have a child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally granted them a child. And so we see here that children are a blessing. We know that. But why does Allah say that they're a fitna? Hey, any of the children want to tell us why they're a fitna? What is a fitna? This microphone squeaks a lot, eh? It echoes a lot. What is a fitna? What is a fitna? Does anyone know? A test, okay. What else? Yeah. Okay, an argument between two people can be considered a fitna, okay, maybe. Okay, so someone starts out, ooh, bismillah. Watch that child. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. Okay, so everyone should be looking after their children, okay? Look after your children so they don't knock anything over, inshaAllah ta'ala. Okay, so very good. Someone, he said, she said, someone starts a problem and spreads rumors, and then two people start to argue because of that. What else? What is a fitna? Yes. A distraction, yes. Something that distracts us from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that leads to negativity. Something that, starts to boil hatred or destruction amongst the community, or maybe within society. That's a fitna. And so children, we know they could be a fitna, but how does wealth become a fitna? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Look at today, how some people, subhanAllah, go and buy things that are on sale. Now there's nothing wrong Islamically with buying anything that's on sale. Right? As long as it's priced right. We can purchase it, we can own it, we can use it, we can sell it afterwards, whatever you want to do. But we also see how people go shopping and they look for the sales. And instead of spending the $500 that they have in their account, they pull out their credit card and they spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. Why? Because it's on sale. But sometimes we don't even have that money. And we're spending money that we don't even have. We don't even earn enough to buy these things, but we say, oh, you know what, I'll pay it off in credit. I'll incur interest on it. I'll pay the interest. Even calculating the interest, it becomes cheaper than if I buy it at regular price. So, big deal, right? That's how some people think, subhanAllah. And so we know very well that our deen does not encourage us to do that. We don't spend more than what we have. And similarly, our wealth can become a fitna. Now there's certain things that I want to focus on, and I don't want to focus on the negativity of things. I don't want to focus on fitna, I don't want to focus on the bad things. I want us to focus on the good things. How can I use my wealth positively? How can I help others? And there's a few topics that I want to touch upon, inshaAllah ta'ala. First of all, the benefits of our wealth facilitates worship. How can I facilitate worship with my wealth? Hayya. How can I help ibadah? How can I encourage someone to pray or to do anything, any type of worship with my wealth? Go on. Yeah, I noticed you were distracted. That's why I picked on you, mashallah. Hey? How can I use my wealth First of all, let me ask you a question. What do you have that's valuable, that belongs to you, not to your mom or your dad? Your Xbox. Okay, mashallah. Very good. You sure you want to use that as an example? How does your Xbox facilitate worship? How does it encourage you to do ibadah? Hey, tell me. I know one way. You might be playing, and some games have foul language, right? Yeah? He's like, yeah. Some games have bad language on it? Yeah? So when you hear it, what do you say? Astaghfirullah. So that video game is encouraging you to do istighfar, right? Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, right? So you have to find the positivity in anything, right? What else? How does our wealth encourage our ibadah? Yes. Collecting money to build a new masjid. Very good. Build a masjid. Okay, I hope we start thinking outside of just building the masjid. Yes. To go to the Kaaba. Yes. Let me add to that. So you use your wealth to go for Hajj, or you use your money to go for Umrah. But what if you went for Hajj and you went for Umrah, but you know someone else did not go, and you know they want to go and they're trying to go, but they just can't save enough money. Is it good for you to help them by giving them the wealth to go for Hajj and Umrah? Yes, it is. Very good. MashaAllah. So these are good examples. What else? How can we use our wealth to facilitate, to help ibadah? If someone is hurt, if someone is hurt, is that what he said? And you help them with your wealth, very good. What about right now? Many of you are wearing your coats. Does it feel cool inside the masjid? Eh? Does it feel cool? Why does it feel cool? I was told the heating isn't working. Why isn't the heating working? I have no idea. I just got here, I took my coat off, and someone was telling me, don't take your coat off because it's cool in the masjid, the heating isn't working. Why isn't the heating working? Maybe we need to find out. Maybe they didn't pay the bill. Maybe, you know, something is broken. Maybe they can't afford to repair it. Maybe we need to look into it to try and fix that, right? We don't know what the issue is. Maybe the thing is locked or something, or the battery is dead, and all we need to do is buy a new battery, right? Very good. I was coming to that. Alhamdulillah. I'm glad that you mentioned it. Your wealth also includes your clothing, right? So wealth, as he mentioned, his Xbox. I want you all to think of something that is valuable to you. What do you have that's valuable? Don't think of your money, don't think of your house, and don't think of your car. What else is valuable? And I want to hear from 10 people. Hayya, what do you have that's valuable? Mushaf. Very good. Alhamdulillah. That's one. Your iPad, very good. We're going to take it from 5 adults and 5 children, okay? Yes. Yeah? Say that again. Your fence? Friends. Oh, very good. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Your friend, but you don't own your friends though, right? SubhanAllah, you can't really give your friends away. But that's very good, MashaAllah. They are valuable. And that was, you know, he's probably trying to prove to us, sometimes you can't put a price on certain things, right? You don't own them, but they're very valuable to you. What else? Hey? PS4, PlayStation 4, mashallah. These are all electronics and gadgets, yes. Quran, that was already mentioned, but very good, alhamdulillah. Your time, absolutely, your time. You can give your time to someone else. Right, today, subhanAllah, I spent all my time in the afternoon after Jumu'ah until 6 o'clock in the masjid, helping others, talking to others, you know, just interacting with people. Very good, your time.
You said that not a home, car.
Right.
So you can give your home to someone.
I know, but I don't want you to say that because everyone, all the adults are going to say my house, most valuable thing that I have is my house, right? So I eliminated it so no one says that. Food, very good, your food. Hayya. Knowledge, absolutely. The knowledge that we have, we gain, it's powerful. We can help other people with it. Why are we not transmitting it? Why are we not helping others with it? And every single thing that we learn, we should be teaching it to someone else. Because when we teach it to someone else, it helps us to retain it. And then when I come on Friday and I ask us, what did we learn last week? Everyone says, I know what we studied because I've been helping someone all week with that. Or I've been trying to implement it in my life all week. Okay? Just a second. Yeah? Health. Very good. Our health. I need four more things from adults. Four things from adults that are valuable, that you possess or you own, that is yours, that you can use to benefit you in your ibadah or someone else. What else? Four things. Come on. GPS? We don't have anything? Our house, our car? That's it? There's got to be something. What? Hey? Okay, skills, knowledge, very good. Sometimes knowledge is very theoretical, so maybe you could say the practical aspect of knowledge. Good. What else? What else do we have that's valuable? There's got to be so much more. If there isn't, it's because we don't recognize the blessings of Allah upon us. And we're going to look at a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ with regards to that. Yes. Okay. Clothing. Good. Alhamdulillah. But I need four more things from four adults. Where are the adults? I'm going to ask all the adults to stand up if they're not going to answer. And the sisters as well. What do you have that's valuable? Jewelry, alhamdulillah, right? Jewelry. Very good. Jewelry, it's valuable. We can use it for things. I know a sheikh who I studied with. He's from Australia, subhanAllah. When he got married, he was 18 years old and he was studying. He left Australia. He went to study. Him and his wife were both students, right? Studying Islam. And his wealth, his money ran out. And he couldn't pay for rent, he couldn't buy food, he couldn't afford anything. He was a student, didn't have a job, etc. Him and his wife were both students. It came to a point in time where his wife took all of her jewelry and went to a jeweler and sold her rings, even her wedding ring and all the jewelry she got for her wedding, sold it all simply so that they can buy food and continue to survive until they found a way to get more wealth. Imagine that. So yes, you can use that. And yes, that brings you closer to Allah because you will never forget that, right? I need three more things. Hey, yeah. Otherwise, we're not going to move. We're going to sleep here tonight. Books. Very good. Books. The knowledge that's contained within the books. That's a valuable asset. Chocolate bar? A soccer ball. A soccer ball? That's valuable? A real FIFA soccer ball that's signed. Alhamdulillah. Do you have that? You do? How much is it worth? No, I'm just joking. Yes. Water. Alhamdulillah. Look at that. Look at how our youth think of simple things. Water. It's free. It comes out of the tap. Well, it's not really free in this part of Canada, right? You pay for it. But still, subhanAllah, it's not expensive, right? It falls from the sky. But it is probably one of the most valuable things that we take for granted. With water, we get electricity. And with water, we survive. If we didn't have the water, we would die, right? Because we need water to survive. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, he tells us in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, he says, look at those who are beneath you, and don't look at those that are above you. Now what the Prophet ﷺ means by this is, look at those people who have less things than you. People who are beneath you, as in they have less things than you. And you need to help them with things, or we should be helping them with things. And the Prophet ﷺ, he discourages us from looking at people who are above us. Don't look at people who have more things than you. Why? Because you might see someone with a beautiful Mercedes parked outside. You say, oh, why did Allah give him that car? He has no children, he doesn't need that. You know, he's not even, you know, he's a young guy. He's not old. He doesn't need to adjust the seat in all these, you know, 25 different positions. He doesn't need to warm up the seat. He's a young guy, mashallah. Us, when we get older, we have arthritis, we need to get in the car. It's hot, it's warmed up, the seat is warm, everything is good. We put our hands on the steering wheel, it's warm. So we might look at someone who has more than us, and then as the Prophet ﷺ continues to say, he says, this is more befitting that you do not despise Allah's favor upon you. When we look at people who have more things than us, we start to feel like we haven't been given anything. For someone here that does not own a house, they think, oh, you know, Allah never gave me a house. Trying really hard to buy a house. I don't have it. Everyone else has a house. You don't need a house, right? You're living perfectly fine, alhamdulillah. There are people that don't have a rented apartment. There are people who live inside cardboard boxes. In Canada, you go to Vancouver, subhanAllah, there's people who sleep on the streets. You go downtown Toronto, there's people who sleep on the streets. They don't have a home. They don't have a place to live. So we have a home. We might be renting it, but alhamdulillah, at least we have a place that's warm, that's cozy, and we're looking at people who have less than us to be thankful for the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. And what that does is it softens our heart. It encourages us to give more. And our children should do this, subhanAllah, as a project. I'm trying to do it with the children in Milton. Hopefully we can do it with the children here. Winter is coming. It's cold already. How many of us have clothing from last year that we're probably not going to use this winter? Either we outgrew them as children, or maybe we got a new coat or we got new clothing, and we can afford to give that away. We should go and look for people in need. A simple example, just the other day, yesterday or the day before, a brother sends me a message. He says, there's a Syrian family, refugee family, who lives in the east part of the GTA, whose home the sewage broke in. So the sewage pipes broke, and the sewage, like from the toilets, etc., came up into the basement, and the basement is flooded with sewage. And inspectors came, and it's too dangerous to stay in the house. They're not allowed to stay in. So the house has been shut down, no one can stay in the house. They can't live in there. It smells really bad, it stinks, and it's bad for your health, right? Some of these bacteria, they become airborne as well. If you inhale it, it's not good for you. And so subhanAllah, there's people we can help, right? Don't come and say, who are they, where are they? I don't know. But this brother is messaging me, telling me about it. So subhanAllah, there's always people that we know that are in need. Maybe they need help. Maybe their clothing was in the basement and got destroyed. Maybe they have no place to sleep, so other people can reach out to them. And that's important for us to try and do that, inshaAllah ta'ala. Now I want to go to the other end of the spectrum. But before I do that, I'm going to ask you all a question. Who is better, the rich person or the poor person? Poor? Yeah, you. Yeah, you have your hand up. Rich or poor? Poor? Okay. Poor? The one with more taqwa, mashallah, tabarakallah. Poor. Who's better, the rich or the poor? The poor, okay. The rich, alhamdulillah. Good, the only person who says rich. Good, alhamdulillah, depends on how they're going to react. Anyone else? Who's better, the rich or the poor? Both? Alhamdulillah, very good. Now you say the rich, right? Because I went like this, now you want to be with me. Alhamdulillah. No. Very good. Both and neither. Islamically, we don't say that the rich is better than the poor. And we don't say that the poor is better than the rich. We say something almost exactly what this brother mentioned, right? It depends on how they are patient with the situation that they're in. It depends on yourself. If I'm happy and content with $100 in my account, alhamdulillah. If I'm happy and content with $1 million in my account, alhamdulillah. If I use that in a correct manner, a person might have $1 million and they spend it all on things that's good, alhamdulillah. That person might lose everything and only has $100 left. And they spend that $100, which is the only savings that they have, on something that's haram. Which one is better? It depends on how they use their wealth, but even more so, it depends on how patient they are with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Now let's look at the other end of the spectrum. Bukhul, miserliness, to be stingy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us something in the Quran. In Surah An-Nisa, verse number 37, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. Before he mentions this, in verse number 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the importance of worshipping only Allah. Right? Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he says to do good. Now look at how Allah covers doing good. Let's see the types of people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to do good. I want someone to count. Who's going to count for me? You going to count? Alhamdulillah. Count the categories, okay? Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, worship Allah and don't worship anyone with Him. And do good to parents. Okay? Do good to parents. That's the first one. relatives, orphans, needy, neighbors which are near us, neighbors that are far from us, companions, as in those that live right next to us, our close friends that live literally in the house right next door, right in front of us, right beside us, right behind us, okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, do good to the traveler, the person who's traveling, and those who are under our care. How many is that? 8? Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates categories of people that we need to do good towards, that we need to help. When we talk about helping our parents, how many of you help your parents? Raise your hand if you help your parents. Okay. All those that are not raising their hands, why aren't you raising your hand? Why aren't you raising your hand? Your parents passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercy upon them. But why can't you do good for your parents? You can. Let me ask this question again now. How many of us do good for our parents? Raise your hands. Ah. Don't want to see anyone's hand down. We all do goodness for our parents. And subhanAllah, what's really interesting is sometimes we, as we grow, right? You might see some young adults here. We work and we start to hold on to our money. I don't want to give it to this person. I don't want to give it to that person. I'm holding on to my money. Our parents, we think, oh, you know what? They have a beautiful lifestyle. We're over here, we're suffering, we're struggling, we're paying taxes, so much money that we're wasting on so many things. I don't need to help other people. They have their own money. They have their own wealth. No. We need to continue to help our parents. We need to look after them like they looked after us. But we have to use that middle ground. There has to be moderation. There has to be balance. We can't just take all of our money and send it back home like some people do. Right? I know, because people come and complain and say, my husband, he works and he takes all his money and he sends it back home. Okay, khalas, what do you do with the rest of your money? How do you help your family? Right? So there has to be that balance. We need to help our family as well, as in the wife and the children. This is for the men, right? But we also need to look after our family. And as children, pay attention. You're going to need to look after your parents as well. Because we live in a society where it's really easy to tell our parents, you know what, you're retired. The government's paying you money. You could just move into this condo. We don't need to look after you, right? Just go into this old folks home, live in a condo, and khalas, life is perfect for you. But that's being stingy. We should look after them not only with the money that we have and put them in beautiful places to live. As the brother was mentioning, one of the most valuable things that we can give to our parents is our time. You know, when one of our children is sick, what do? We have to go to work the next day. We might have to go to school. There's things that we have to do. But we still look after our children. We sacrifice our sleep. We sacrifice our food. We sacrifice our time. And we give it to the child who's sick. Why is it that when our children get older, they don't give it back to us? We need to instill those values in our children as well. When we talk to our children about wealth, we shouldn't just talk to them about money. We should talk to them about their time. Your time is valuable. And I was saying this in the masjid the other day. I actually don't like when people invite me to a wedding. Why? The invitation says 6 p.m. Right? How many of you have gotten an invitation to a wedding that says 6 p.m.? All of us. You get there at 6 p.m., no one is there. 8 o'clock, the family members start to show up. 2 hours after the invited time. And when does the food get served? 10 o'clock or 10:30 at night. 4 hours get wasted doing nothing. Sitting there, talking to people, playing on your phone, just wasting your time. People bring their phone chargers to weddings now so they could plug it in and sit next to the wall, and they're sitting there on their phone because it's just a waste of time. And that's why, subhanAllah, I feel sometimes going to a wedding is a burden. I'll accept the invitation, and this is my next question. When someone invites me, I say, what time is the food? I say, 10 o'clock, khalas, I'm going to come at 9:45. Right? I'll be there at 9:45, say salam to everyone, food is served, okay, we go eat, we sit down, alhamdulillah, how is it? Have some tea, and go. 10 o'clock, 10:30, we're done, right? Alhamdulillah. Why? Because our time is valuable. For many of us, we don't have time to spend with our family. And so we need to teach our children the importance of time. Because when time runs out, subhanAllah, it's gone, and none of us can buy it back. The last two things that I'm going to highlight, inshaAllah ta'ala, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was described by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum as being someone, especially during the month of Ramadan, they said he was like a whirlwind. You know what a whirlwind is? Think of it like a tornado, like all over the place. You don't know where he is. The Prophet ﷺ, he was like that during the month of Ramadan in particular, in terms of his generosity. He would give and give and give to so many people. And Jabir radiallahu anhu, this is the second thing that I'm going to highlight. He says the Prophet ﷺ would never say no to anyone who would come and ask him for something. He would never say no. If he had it, he would give it to them. If he didn't have it, he would find a way to get it to them, if they needed it, of course. And if he couldn't do that, sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would go to someone and borrow something and give it to that person. And the person he borrowed from would know, I'm not going to ask the Prophet ﷺ to give that back to me. And if they did, alhamdulillah, he would find a way to get it back to that person. That was the love of the Prophet ﷺ for other people. How many of us do that? The other day this man came to my window. I'm sitting in, it was when I went to Canadian Tire. I got back in my car and I started my car. And as I'm putting my seatbelt on, this man comes to my window. He says, can you spare some change for a coffee? And I thought to myself, is he going to buy a coffee? Where is he going to spend the money? Maybe he's going to buy cigarettes. Maybe he's going to buy drugs. Maybe he's going to go and buy some alcohol or something. I don't know what he's going to use his money on. Maybe he actually lives in a nice home and this is just how he goes around asking people for money. And then I thought, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Who am I to try and figure out who this man is and where he's going to spend his money? If someone asks you for something, change. Change. He's not asking you for $10. He's asking you for change. Give him something. Give him something. He's in a parking lot. It's raining and it's cold. Give him something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us even more back. And so Allah describes these people, the categories of people that we need to give to, because then He says, الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ, those who become stingy are not the people who help others. They're people who are stingy. And you'll notice sometimes the wealthiest of people are the most greedy with their money. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about. Help all of those people, and Allah will give us more, and we will not need to be greedy. We will not need to be stingy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to understand that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to be from the wealthiest people who constantly give to others, who earn wealth and give wealth, and don't feel as though this is something that we are earning and losing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair in our wealth and put barakah in our wealth in our family. Ameen.